Hey, you're listening to the Prime Culture Podcast. This Prime Culture is for the dreamers, the schemers, and the believers. We're here to introduce a whole new generation to the abundant life. We're here for the prime of our lives.
All right, hey, welcome back to the Prime Culture Podcast, where Jesus is king and prime people are my favorite people. Hey, you doing good?
Hey, doing good.
Hello, everybody.
How we feeling?
Feeling good.
Feeling really
Yo,
good.
Yo, it is 100 and hell degrees in El Paso right now.
Yeah, it's over so summer. Hot. Completely over yes. summer.
Good God.
Done.
So I'm ready for hoodies.
100%.
Ready. I'm ready. But things are good. Things are good. Hey, we're coming into a CultureCon season. In case you didn't already heard, somebody better run tell that. CultureCon is now free 99. You ain't got to pay anything. You just got to pay attention. Come on, somebody.
Gotta wake up and pay attention.
Man. Yeah. We're Lauren so excited Hill, for it. Go. We're so excited
you
for it.
You got to come through. August, it's free. No excuses.
Right.
It's going to be so great.
August 5th through the 7th. It's going to be unbelievable. Man, Pastor Felipe wrote a whole new album.
A whole new album. Like 12 new songs.
Hey, but we are releasing Abundant Worship's new album.
Yeah.
Yay.
The week of CultureCon.
The week of CultureCon.
And then
Con.
We will have new songs at CultureCon.
Woo! Yeah. I cannot wait, man. I can't wait. But as we're getting ready for that, I think one of the things that we've been doing really, really well this year is helping our community and helping the culture get right side up, right? Get your right perspectives. And what do we mean by right side up? We mean that we want you to find your proper place in the wise and loving design of God. Mm-hmm. And I think something, you guys, that I've been learning as we've been leading this, right? Because it's a beautiful thing to lead and learn at the same time, right? I think some of the best leaders I've ever met and ever known that I admire do that really well. They lead and they learn, mm-hmm. right? Is that God's wise and loving design and finding our proper place in that is very, very practical. And it often comes at the expense of my preferences mm-hmm. and it comes at the expense of my opinions. And man, I think at least for me, I've been learning that in my own life, you know? And I think something that we've really, really held to is challenging the culture, right? On just having the right perspective, the right filters, the right lenses through which they view their life. Mm-hmm. And so recently at Culture Night, we taught a whole message around this statement, I wish, right? And like, just to remind you as you're listening to this, which by the way, if you haven't heard that, go watch I Wish and mm-hmm. then come back and watch this episode because this is part two to I Wish. Right. But one of the statements is, man, I wish God would just, man, God, I wish you would just change my season. And God, I wish you would just change my circumstance. And I wish you would just give me what I need. And I wish you would just, you know, and one thing that we taught was that the verse that we wish on, or one of the verses that we wish on the most is Jeremiah 29:11, right? Where the Lord says, I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts for a future and a hope to bless you and to increase you. And a lot of times I think when we say, Lord, I wish you would just change it. We think, Lord, man, God's future and God's hope for me comes from like this I wish moment.
Yeah.
All of a sudden where I'm at changes immediately mm-hmm. and I get everything I ever wanted. But what we're learning right side up is that no, man, I actually have to find God's loving and wise design for here and now,
right?
For my present tension.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real wake-up call for a lot of us, right? Let's talk about this as we go into this. Talk about a little bit, like kind of like in the first moments where you started getting that aha, where you started understanding, wait a minute, the future and the hope that God has for me is what he's asking me to bless, or he's asking me to build here and now, right? Because we always think if and when, right? Mm-hmm. Man, I'll be blessed if I get that job, and I'll be blessed when this thing changes, right? But really, as we learned in this text, is that no, like the Lord is building our if and when through the instructions he's giving us here and now, right? So can we talk about that a little bit, like in our own lives as leaders who are just, you know, down the road from the culture? Like when did that start becoming a reality and a paradigm shift for you guys?
I think for me, it would be, I guess, when I was a young adult, I always thought, okay, once I have my degree, then I'm going to be this. And I think even I'm talking about maybe like a practitioner, not as a pastor. So as a practitioner, I thought, okay, once I have all this experience, then I'm going to be the greatest, right? But I think when you're a young adult, you just think that's going to come within a week or within two weeks, but we don't realize experience is actually time. And then that time has to be well spent. You can't just be a whatever type of practitioner. You're actually learning to have skillful hands and skillful thought in what you're doing in order to be what you think you're going to be in the future.
Yeah, I love that.
But it will not be just be because you have the degree or just because you're 10 years older than you are now. You actually actively have to do something in the present before you get to where you're going to be. That's and I think really as good. Young adults, we don't see that ahead. I know really I didn't. I always was in the just, okay, here and now, and then tomorrow it's going to be it.
Yeah.
And we get so disappointed when tomorrow comes and you're not it.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that we misunderstand, and you and I talk about this a lot, I think what we misunderstand is the concept of if and when and future and hope as this thing where it's like, okay, if I just, man, if the Lord wills it, and if I, man, right. I'm just here waiting on the Lord. And it's like, no, man, like that's not how that thing works, right? Like the promise of the Lord is yes for a future. The promise of the Lord is yes for a hope. But the greatest enemy I've learned to the future and the hope that the Lord has for me is passivity in the present.
Yeah. Right. And that's the way it showed up for me in my development. I always assumed that the if and when was going to happen in a different location. So I just, in my young adult years, I always thought there was going to be a call to go. It felt like I really, my here and now was so unattractive to me because it was a lot of work. It was like, it was so much, I guess not pretty, no aesthetic, no vibe, no things that I like. And to get to the place where I wanted to get to, it would take years here. So it was so, here and now was so unattractive to me. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about when I was like in my 20s, right?
Right.
And every area of my life was like that. In music, my personal development, my career, all of it felt like there's going to be a day where there's a call that comes. And then when that call comes to go, then I'll go and then I'll move. Yeah. So I felt like when I look, when I tell people ask me like, what would you change or whatever, that question that often gets asked, I always say, I think I would just do everything I did just quicker. I would just start quicker because it took me a few years of passivity and just hanging out and just like, I guess, waiting and suffering and feeling bad for myself, having a little pity party where I was just inactive and the task never moved. The assignment never moved. I still had to go get up and do the same thing God had been asking me to do from the very beginning. And that's what I tell young people when I meet them is like, if I could do it all over again, the only thing I would do is I would just do it sooner. Like I just fought with God so many times on assignments that were always going to be mine. Mm. And he had just given them to me. And I was waiting for a location change. This must be for someone else, Lord. Because someone else is going to come fix this. Not me, though. You're going to send me.
Yeah.
And he never sent me. He sent me to that thing. It was right there, 5 minutes from my house or whatever.
Right. Well,
It's so critical, right, to understand that, though.
Yeah.
It's so critical, right? So if we're using the context of Jeremiah 29, so to give you some perspective of it, right, just a quick survey. The children of Israel come into captivity in Babylon, and the Lord says, you're going to be here, I think it's 70 years, right? Mm-hmm. Which 70 years is one lifetime, right? Mm-hmm. Which I don't think we have enough time on the podcast to go into this, but like many times I'm learning this in my own lifetime right now, right? Mm-hmm. In the story of my life, that many times the future and the hope that that the Lord promised me
and I'm carrying
and is not going to happen in my lifetime, but it's going to happen through my lifeline, right?
Yeah.
And so like 70 years is, according to the scripture, is the life of a person, right? So the Lord is saying, you're going to spend your life
in this
less than optimal circumstance, but watch. But as you're living in this less than optimal circumstance, I want you to do this. I want you to build a house. I want you to plant a garden. No, he said, I want you to build a house and live in it. Mm-hmm. I want you to plant a garden and eat from it. I want you to get married and have children and have your children get married. Then I will come visit you after 70 years. Watch. And that word visit in the Hebrew literally means I will come and take inventory of what you've built.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then he says, I'll take you to the place that I've told you. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, for a future and a hope. And so we've always had this wishful dream, like one day God's going to get me out of this. It's like, no, one day God's going to come and take inventory of what you've built.
Mm-hmm.
And what you've built then becomes, okay, I'm going to take that. I'm going to bless that. And you'll discover that what you've built, what you've put your hands to do, what where you've resisted passivity, that's the thing that the Lord says, yeah, that's what I intended the whole time.
Yeah.
For you to thrive, for you to multiply, for you to grow, and for your children to have a hope in a future. Because we always have this main character syndrome that is just for me and mine, right? I'm learning right now to live in this way. It's like, wait, hold on. No, like, yes. Do me and Diana have dreams? Do you and Lisa have dreams for, man, I'm going to live in this? Yes. But I think for me, the bigger dreams that I'm dreaming is like, what does this look like for Chloe and Bailey's marriage?
Right.
What is this like for their life? What does it look like for their kids? Right. What am I building now here today that I'm going to hand to them when the Lord comes to visit us at the end of my quote unquote 70 and say, hey, this is the future and the hope that God gave me. Because if it only ends with me, that's not a future and that's not a hope.
Yeah.
Right. That's a present thing. Does that make sense?
Right. Imagine the way hearing that, you know, from the prophet, if you're in people of Israel, you hear that message. Imagine the way you had to live your life if you were like in your midlife there,
right.
You know, you're not going to live a full lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think there's a certain degree of selflessness that is required to walk this hope in a future that God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love what you just said, that it won't always be in your lifetime. It will be in your lifeline. And I think in order to walk in that thought, in obedience of that thought, there has to be a removal of entitlement to what I think I deserve in my life, in a lifetime.
Yep.
Cause I think we all walk with this discernment of like, I get 70 years, which is funny that when I was like 15 years old, it was 80, and now it's like 70. That's crazy, right?
Let's say 90.
By the way, if it's 70, that's gonna be a dark thought.
Yes.
I'm in my midlife. I extended it to 90.
Yeah, bro. Look, I'm watching our senior pastor, right, Pastor Charles, 76.
And this dude
is still a stud. This dude is still building
good
houses.
Good looking, my guy.
This dude is still planting gardens. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, no, man, okay. Like, that's goals right there. Like, he's doing this at 76. Awesome. And respectfully to Pastor Charles, but I'm going to be doing that at 86.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing that, like, in Jesus' name at 96. Yeah. Right now, my algorithm is like a lot of runners. Right. And every once in a while, my algorithm will feed me like this 96-year-old runner who's out there running like 8-minute miles. I'm like, bruh.
For real.
Come on, bro. You can do this. You can do this.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I just cheated and I know off the subject, a 90-year-old man who fell off a tree because he was cutting branches.
This dude is cutting branches.
He climbed the tree to cut the branches. He's 90 years old.
Oh my God.
But I think I don't think that's off subject. I think that's right on point, right? Because like somewhere in that 90-year-old man is this thought. You're not going to tell me what I can and cannot do. Yes, my Babylon, which, you know, they're captive in Babylon.
Right.
And if I can just give you a snapshot of Babylon, Babylon is a place where the Lord or where the people of God would always be found captive and confused.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of Babylon now is, we no longer get captive by the empire of Babylon.
Yeah.
But the truth is New Testament believers and as followers of Jesus, we fight the spirit of Babylon, which is a tyranny of the mind.
Yeah.
Right? Like the Lord is not an author of confusion, but Babylon is. Babylon is trying to confuse you. And I'm reminded of one of the handles that we gave at Culture Night, which was, man, I'm not going to allow the spirit of Babylon I'm not going to allow the condition of my circumstance to become a state of confusion and a condition of confusion for me.
Yeah.
No, man. Okay. So I'm in a circumstance, but in this circumstance, I still have a decision that I'm going to make. Mm-hmm. Right. So like for that 90-year-old man, right? Like there could be Babylon of like, man, I'm old. Everything he says that I should be just bed bound and I should like have a walker and and he's like, nah, I'm gonna go climb this tree. Like you can't tell me that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's incredible.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to piggyback on what you just said. I guess the thought that keeps coming to my mind right now as you're saying and as we're speaking about this is just the thought of like, in order for me to let go of if and when to be productive here and now and grab onto the hope in the future that God has for me, I have to let go of the entitlement that I have for my lifetime, for my lifetime, and I have to pick up the responsibility.
That's very good.
That I have. And oftentimes I feel like if I were to go back to my 20s, and like I mentioned, I feel like in that moment I was just looking of all the things that I felt entitled to.
Yeah.
All of the happenings, all of the accomplishments, the achievements, the delights, the pleasures that I wanted to enjoy, the things that I wanted to experience. And I felt so entitled to those that I was neglecting the responsibility for here and now.
Yeah.
And it was blind. blinding. It was like a spirit of Babylon. It's like I'm captive in my 20s because I can't do what I want to do.
That's right.
I can't go where I want to go. I can't spend what I want to spend. And I'm just, I can't. I'm captive. And I was actually liberated the moment that I picked up my responsibility.
Yeah, man.
That's good. But yeah. Again, you're only captive because you're comparing yourself to other 20-year-olds that are doing whatever they want to do. And maybe I'm speaking to maybe some parents that watch us, or you're a young adult with a child and you feel like, this is how I felt when I had Chloe and Bailey. I felt very isolated because now you go through a season of like, oh gosh, I thought this is what I wanted. Now I'm a mother and I'm unseen, or I don't know what my purpose is. And I remember during that time, the Lord was like, look, are you going to be unselfish? And are you going to give this time to me?
Yeah,
nobody's going to know who you are. Nobody's going to call your name.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to care if you come to church or not. Okay. And in this time, will you walk with me? That way, when they do call you, you have something to say.
Mm.
And I'm a testimony of that's what the Lord did for me. Like in that time, I preached to my daughters. I did Bible studies to them. They were what, 5 and 7?
Younger.
Yeah, they were maybe 4. I don't know. But it was when they were little. And the Lord just taught me that even if nobody called me, He called me.
Come on,
and if I was going to take my calling seriously, then I was going to answer His call, whether that was going to be seen or unseen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Never in my life did I think we would. That was before Prime Culture.
Yeah.
It was before everything. So can I tell you that God's calling for your life, whatever your thoughts and future is, it's right here, right now, like Felipe said, but you got to pick up that responsibility and walk in it now, whether it's one people or 1,000 people.
Yeah, no, I agree, right? And you just hit the point that I wanted to make right on the head. Like, whether it's one person or 1,000 people, someone calling for you is proof of the calling.
Yeah,
that's
right?
Beautiful.
And I think what happens is two ends of the spectrum. I think entitlement, for sure, makes us prisoners of passivity, where it's like, no, God owes me, right? So I'm not going to do anything here. This is my valley, right? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, bro,
wow.
You know, and it's like, no, God owes me. God's going to do something different. Watch, God's going to do something. And it's like, it becomes passivity that's connected to pride, right?
Yeah.
But I think for some other people, like this is a spectrum that I would walk in, is fear and doubt, right? I'm a testimony of this. I never felt entitled that God owed me anything. But I was afraid that if I gave my everything to here and now, this is all I would ever see.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like a scarcity mindset.
Not a scarcity mindset. It was this is all there will be. Like, man, like, I didn't want to commit too much because it's like, man, like, oh, wow, like, this is it. Like, this is going to be the peak of everything, right?
Yeah, I guess if here and now is like a dead end, like, there's no future,
like,
there's no hope.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
This is my,
you know, and so I was willing to commit, but I didn't want to be fully surrendered out of fear that, man, I'm going to get stuck here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And I never once felt like God owed me anything, but I did feel that I lived with a sense of, I think it was hopeful ambition, right? A sense of, okay, this is where I am today, but I think there's more than this. Right. But then if I committed too much, I thought that it would lead me to settling, right? Rather than building something.
Yeah.
Right. And so many times, yes, entitlement is the fuel to paralysis and the passivity, but also fear and doubt.
Yeah.
And just really being afraid is at the core of inaction. And there's a quote, man, that I came across a couple of weeks ago by Dale Carnegie, who, if you've never read Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, it is a game changer for every young adult. If you're a young adult that's in sales, or you're in a service industry, or you just want to be a good friend, a good spouse, an all around really great person, go read Dale Carnegie's book on How to Win Friends and Influence People. But Dale Carnegie said this about passivity and inaction. Watch, he said, passivity and inaction actually breeds more fear and doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So the more passive and the more inactive that you are, the more fear and the more doubt is going to compound. He said, but action breeds confidence and courage. right? So he says, so if you want to conquer fear, don't just sit around at home and think about it. Go outside and get busy.
Yeah.
Just do something here. The way I would want to say it, like at a culture night, is like God was like, yes, I have a plan to bless you, future and hope, but you're not giving me anything to bless right now.
Right.
You're like, you know, it's like, man, we'll pray, right? We'll pray. Lord, you said, whatever I'll put my hands to prosper. Whatever you said, whatever I'll put my hand to do will prosper. And then be like, why isn't nothing prospering? Because you haven't put your hands on anything.
Yeah.
Or what if the Lord is blessing you and it's like, oh, like, they just want to use me at church and they're just calling me to do this and I'm so tired. But you're the one saying, God, send me. And when we send you, now you're upset.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, I think one of the things is pushing past, pushing past passivity, really just embracing, right? One of the things that I heard Pastor Jared teach recently, and it really blessed me, was the power of contentment, right? Contentment is, okay, I appreciate what I have today, but I'm not going to resign.
Yeah.
Like, so, okay, I'm grateful for what I have today,
right?
But I'm not resigning my vision.
That's good.
I'm not resigning my ambition.
Yeah,
right?
That's healthy.
I'm going to work hard today. I'm going to work hard here and now. But you know what? I'm still going to remain hopeful. Yeah. And this is one of the things I didn't get to in the Culture Night message, right? We don't want to be wish dreamers. We want to be hopeful builders.
That's good.
Yeah, a wish dreamer will sit around and be like, man, I wish God would just, and then nothing ever happens, right? Versus when you're a hopeful builder, you just take whatever you have and you put your hands on it. And as you're doing it, you're fueling it with hope. You know, this is what I'm doing. But my hope is that, man, there's good things to come from God, right? Mm-hmm. Hope, that's what hope is, right? Gotcha. Pastor Charles has taught this for 15 years almost, that hope is living every day with a positive expectation of good things to come, right? Something good is going to come of it, and it's not perfect. The circumstances are bad. You know, I'm working at Taco Bell. That was my first job, by the way.
Mm-hmm. No way.
Yes, bro. My first job was Taco Bell, man. And bro, you want to know how much I was making? This is crazy.
$4.
It's about to be crazy.
This is unk, bro. My starting $4? Wage was $3.85 an hour.
Sheesh.
That's wealthy.
That's even illegal.
That's illegal
dude,
now.
Dude, $3.85 an hour. This is crazy, bro. This is like old man, like, I remember when, right? gas was 49 cents a gallon.
Bro, get out of here.
Dang, I don't
You're
even remember
You're talking about
that.
Heaven right now. You're
bro,
talking about 40, this earth.
I mean, that's what you could live on $4 or $5 an hour back then, right? But
bro, I remember when I could go on a date for $20, bro.
Bro.
I remember.
Bro, now we can't even get a Happy Meal for $20, bro. Are you kidding me, man?
For real. And I get the girls an ice cream. How is an ice cream cone $2? That used to be 50 cents.
Yes, I know.
Now I have to save up for ice cream shoes.
No, man. You know, but look, I think, right. But think about how you started, right? And it was just like, man, I'm just happy to have a job. Did I think I was going to be at Taco Bell forever? No. Was I grateful for Taco Bell then? Yeah, man. It handled for where I was today.
Right.
Right. Yeah. But then it just opened other experiences, other opportunities. And I think that's the difference between a wishful dreamer and a hopeful builder.
Yeah.
Right. A wishful dreamer will just sit around and just like, oh man, you know, one day. A hopeful builder will sit around and say, no, today's day one.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not waiting for one day. I'm going to start day one. I know that sounds like an Instagram reel that you've seen 100 times, right? But the power of cliche is that cliches are cliches because they're true.
Because they're true. Right. I literally counseled a girl the other day who was telling me that she wishes she can lose weight. So I was like, she says she prays every day to lose weight. And I was like, okay, I mean, that's fine. You can pray about it. But what are you doing?
Yeah.
She said, nothing. I'm praying. Oh, my girl. If I could pray my way to getting muscles, I would be speaking in tongues for 10 hours a day.
And this is respectfully to whoever that was, right? But there's a difference between a burden and weight, right? Yeah. Like, you can pray a burden away. You can't pray the weight away. What you can do is go stand on a treadmill
and do something, and
while you're walking, pray, Lord, thank you for the ability to do this. Lord, thank you that you're seeing my effort. Lord, thank you that you're giving me the wisdom to walk this out.
What I'm trying to say is that sometimes the ignorance really is there. You really think that God's gonna, like, if I just cross my fingers and pray, like, he's gonna take this away from
you. You just hit the nail on the head. I think that ignorance brings a lot of inactivity also and passivity, right? I can't do better because I don't know better, right? And this is why, like, coming coming to Prime Culture, being a part of a church that teaches you how is so important, right? Like our heart is this, like me, Diana, Felipe, our team, man, when we pray about and we allow the Holy Spirit to breathe on and direct us in the direction of our content, one of the things that, you know, that I think, and I think I've said it this way several times, but I say, man, I don't want us just to proclaim it from a pulpit. I want us to be able to explain how to live this.
Yeah.
Right? This is a big difference. Like church, I think churches, man, I'm not knocking the bride of Christ. I'm making observations. I think where sometimes churches fall short is we do a lot of proclamation, but not enough explanation.
Yeah.
Hey, this is how, right?
This is like, what it looks like.
Listen, I love your heart and your motivation to get your fitness right side up, to get your body right side up. That's a beautiful endeavor.
Yep,
praise the Lord. We got to tell you how. Right, we got to teach you macros. We got to teach you calorie deficiency. Yeah. Right, like we got to teach you about these things. Right, and I think ignorance is one of those that really creates passivity. And the truth is, ignorance and naivete can be very intimidating. And for many of us that are listening to this, a lot of us, I love our culture, I love our community, but I'm very aware that for many people in the culture, they're a first generation that's breaking through certain thresholds for their family.
Yep.
They're a first generation that's breaking through certain socioeconomic thresholds. Mm-hmm. They're breaking through certain spiritual thresholds,
yep.
certain relational thresholds, right? And what was the ceiling for their family before them is becoming the floor for their home and their future. And look, there's a reason why this is heavy, because what the Lord has asked you to do and put in your heart to do has never been seen before in your family until now, right? And you cannot let the burden of ignorance become the bondage of foolishness.
Yeah.
That's a bar, right? Like, sorry, that was very self-serving. Sorry, right? The burden of ignorance cannot become the bondage of foolishness. Proverbs 8 is one of my favorite portions on teaching you if you are ignorant. Diana will tell you, I grew up ignorant, bro. Like, ignorant. I didn't know about money. I didn't know about how the world works. I didn't know about taxes. I didn't know about budgets. I didn't know about
bro.
And I came into the world as a young adult, not knowing anything. Right. But I just started learning how to pursue the right people and ask the right questions.
Yeah.
Right. And Proverbs 8 says this: for those of you who are inexperienced and naive, your job is to pursue astute common sense. Astute, astucia. That's what Chapulín Colorado would say, right?
No
contaban con mi astucia, right?
Super mix up.
So that's cleverness, right? In English, cleverness?
Shrewdness, yeah. It's because I'm preaching at Un Corazón tomorrow. That's what it is.
You're getting the reps.
That's a weird flex, sorry. We love Un Corazón, by the way. Those are our brothers, man. Shrewdness, right? So there is a shrewdness that you learn just by experience. You learn by life.
Yeah.
So what the Book of Wisdom is saying, look, if you're naive and you don't know how, you don't have an excuse to not know.
Yeah.
Like you don't have an excuse. Go look at people you look at their lives and you say, watch, for me, here's what the burden felt like when I discovered I was ignorant. There was a moment where you see too much and you know too much and you're like, that life is different than my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That car is different than my car. That house is different than my house. And I'm not playing comparison, but I'm being exposed to there is a different kind of life.
Yeah.
How did you get that? Mm-hmm. Right? So you guys may have heard me share this story. I won't say it too much. But the reason I even got into engineering and like tech technology engineering, blah, 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 is because I was working it was like a dead-end job, right? And I was walking out one morning. I was working graveyard shift during college because it worked really well with my schedule, and like the job was easy. I could do homework and study while I was on the job. And I remember I was leaving. I would work from 10 to 7.
Dang, bro.
10 at night to 7 in the morning. That's, you remember
like,
that?
Yeah, that was like Mr. Fung's schedule now.
I paid my dues, Andrew. I paid my dues, bro. I've been there. I've been doing this. I'm just playing. You wasn't shooting with me in the gym.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And I remember I was walking out of my shift one night or one morning. And as I'm walking out, I was walking to my little 89 Nissan Sentra. Okay, that was my car, my little Nissan Sentra, right? that I bought cash for like $2,000.
Come on.
Right? Like balling.
13-inch rims.
Don't talk about that. That was my cholo days. Hey,
we all started somewhere.
Bro, it's a straight up lowrider, bro. I love lowriders, bro. You have to understand.
I want to roll in and roll out.
Bro, I was from East LA, bro. I love lowriders, bro.
It's horrible.
I love lowriders, man. Anyway, I'm gonna be that dude. Like, I'm gonna be like 68.
You're still gonna get one
by yourself.
In a 6'4 Impala, bro. I'm gonna get one. Watch. Anyway, and as I'm walking out to my little Nissan, I see one of our engineers. I discovered he was one of our engineers driving up. Brand spanking new Escalade. The Escalades had just dropped, right? And I see him pull up and I'm just like, I remember his name was Richard Park. I go, that's Richard Park. The trouble tickets, because I was on help desk, mm-hmm. The trouble tickets that I get, I send them to him. He fixes the trouble tickets. So his job has allowed him to buy that.
Yeah.
I literally went up to him as he parked. I said, hey, my name's Cruz. I work on the help. Oh, okay. Yeah. What's up? I go, what's your job? What do you do? He goes, why? I go, because you drive that. Like, for real. I was un bruto, bro. Yeah. Like, for real, just a caveman, right? But what happened? I was naive, but I got exposed.
Yeah.
I saw something and I couldn't unsee it.
Yeah.
Right? And I just knew this guy knows something that I don't know. I need to ask him. And you know what he did, man? He said, listen, this is what I do. And I said, man, that sounds interesting. Like, how do I do that? He goes, look, if you want, after your shifts, just come follow me.
That's crazy.
Just come follow me around. He goes, you can't be on the clock, but if you want to learn, just come follow me around. And I started doing that for a week or two. And it made me change my major from nursing, because I thought I was going to go pre-med, but it turns out I hate chemistry.
Mm.
He lied to me. He lied to me. He said he was going to be a doctor when we first met. So,
yeah, bro.
But it's okay. He said pediatricians, pastor. I mean, it could have been. You didn't hear the Lord, right? Yeah. I hear it.
You're in a different kind of medicine. You know what I mean?
Hey, you know what I'm saying?
They
you know,
both start with the letter P. You know,
I work for the great physician. Hey,
come on.
I'm a PA. I'm a physician's assistant. Let's go. Let's go. Get him. Hit him with some horns one time, Andrew. Let's go. there it is. There it is. Right. So watch. I just said, man, this is what I'm going to do. I understand it. I had a knack for it. So I changed my major to CS, computer science. Anyway, like, he taught me some little things here and there. Like, watch this. So I got tired of doctors yelling at me because their printers weren't working or like the network was down or whatever. And just by watching him, I figured out, okay, let me go tinker. And I started fixing stuff at night.
Mm.
Right. And so like the VP that was over the IT department was like, he went and met me one day. This was like 3 or 4 months after, because I shadowed Rich probably for about a month and a half, 2 months. Like, I was just like, bro, I just want to learn. I don't want to be doing this the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I just started fixing stuff at night, bro. And so the other guy's name was Richard Nunez. This go crazy that it's so vivid in my mind right now. And so Mr. Nunez calls me one morning and he says, hey, can you come meet with me? And I said, yeah. He goes, hey, I heard you've just been out there fixing stuff. I said, yeah. He goes, why? I go, because the doctors are mean, bro. Like, they yell at me, dog. Like, well, I didn't say dog, but like, they yell at me.
Sir?
Like, yeah. So, no, they're like, everyone's really mean. So I just thought, man, like, you know, Rich has been really kind, like, in just training me a little bit. So I know how to fix some of the things. I just watch him. He's like, so you're doing like network engineer stuff? I said, I guess. I don't know. What is that? Right? He goes, well, look, I can't, you know, you have to have these certifications or this degree to come in like where Richard's at. But, you know, we actually have a position opening for a PC technician, right?
Wow.
Which took me from like $7 an hour to like $13.50.
Yeah.
Which at that time, bro, it's like balling. Right? Remember, $3.85,
yeah, bro.
Right?
Like, remember.
$3.85, bro. $3.85, right? So anyway, what's my point? My point is this. I was naive. I was so naive. But there was a person that I saw who had astute common sense, had a shrewdness. And this is what I learned, Felipe. I learned that the things that were complicated to me, I had no idea how to break out of the life that I was in.
Yeah.
Right? Things that were complicated to me, to people who have walked the path,
yeah,
it's common sense to them.
Yep.
And all I have to do is have the humility and the hustle to go pursue them and say, hey, will you teach me? Will you tell me? Don't do it for me.
Right.
But will you tell me what can I do here and now so that my if and when can look like your life?
Yeah. That's good.
Right? And I've discovered this, y'all. Like the blessing of God is not magic. It's faith, mm-hmm. right? And faith is when hope and expectation puts on overalls mm-hmm. and goes to work.
Goes yeah. to work.
Right? Faith is active. James would say it this way, that faith without work
is dead,
right? So if you're believing for a future and a hope that you're not working for here and now, you don't have faith. You have a dream.
Yeah.
That's a fantasy.
You're saying, I wish.
You're saying, I wish. That's it. Come on, man. Yeah. Help me preach this thing, right? Like, right? No, you're saying, I wish. Oh, I wish I had that car.
Yeah.
Right, then I will.
Oh, right.
Because that whole encounter you just described probably doesn't even match people's blueprints that they have for the way it's going to happen when God moves.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was an I will. You said I will rather than I wish. And then favor followed that decision.
100%.
Right. You know, the way that man just took you in, I mean, that's only God can do that.
Yeah.
A man
Absolutely.
That doesn't know you.
Yeah.
And then the way all those things happen, I mean, but I think sometimes we create fantasies in our mind of how our wish dreams take place.
Yeah.
Right.
And they somehow we tend to lie to ourselves and we tell ourselves that we pay the least price, the least amount of I guess, of cost. And somehow mm-hmm. it's effortless and somehow it's easy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who told me this. I don't know if it was you and me talking, but we talked about like what it's living the life that you've called to live. It's never going to cost less than it costs right now. It's
oh,
the
for
cheapest
sure.
is right now.
Right now.
It's the
this
cheapest.
This is the cheapest.
The bigger 100%. It gets, it's going to get harder. And the more you're going to have to ask for help, the more you're going to have to build, the more you're going to have to mm-hmm. you know, put your faith into work.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes as young adults, we live in this reality where when we get there, all this hardship or all this stuff just kind of goes away and I get to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And the Christian life, I mean, I don't think the Christian life was ever designed for it to be pure enjoyment. I think it's both and. It's enjoyment and mission, and it's enjoyment and responsibility.
Absolutely.
And it's enjoyment. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And I think we live in a social media world that continues to paint a picture of what life is supposed to look like when it's successful and it's a lie.
And it's not real.
And it's not real. And the way that we're talking about the way it's real.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's faith putting on the overalls, get to work.
Yeah, the Lord honors obedience, mm-hmm. right? The Lord honors faithfulness. The Lord honors, you know, us meeting Him halfway, right? You know, draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. And I think if you're looking at where you are here and now, which here's what's funny, you know, 20 years later, I'm living in if and when. But for me, 20 years later, this has now become here and now.
Yeah.
And now if and when is a new thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so that cycle is never ending.
Right.
Right? But the pattern of whether will I build or mm-hmm. will I just dream? Yeah. Will I build or will I just dream? Right. And I've learned this, you guys, that God doesn't bless what we wish. Right. He blesses what we build.
Come on.
Right. Oftentimes, like, think about it. Right. Like, what I'm thinking about right now is when the Lord would ask people who were sick, when Jesus would ask people who were sick, hey, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Right? So there's a difference, right? Internally, you're like, man, so the guy with the withered hand, right?
Yeah.
Man, I wish this would change, bro. I wish this would, oh man. People are always looking at me, woo, 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 right? I wish. And the Lord comes to him, he's like, what do you want me to do? Want me to heal you? Okay, stretch it out. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, what? Just heal me without embarrassing me. But it's not embarrassment. It's like, what do you really want? Secondly, tell me if this makes sense. I think we've talked about this before, but I think I really do believe, man. I believe that when the Lord would say, okay, and I think for any of us who find ourselves in like quote unquote like a Babylon season, right? Where it's like, man, it's less than optimal. I didn't expect to be here. I got carried away by a circumstance or a consequence, and like, oh shucks, what am I doing here? I think the Lord would show up and say, hey, okay, what do you want me to do? Do you really want me to change it? Look, hold on. Do you really want me to bless you? Because if I give you what you're asking me for, you're going to have to work.
Yeah.
Right. Think about this, right? The guys that were blind or crippled mm-hmm. and the Lord said, what do you want? You want me to heal you? I think in the undertone, in the nuance, the Lord is like, yo, bro, like, think about what you're asking me. Because
there's responsibility with your healing.
If your legs work,
yeah.
Now you can't just sit around and beg anymore.
Yeah, you got
to
walk.
You're gonna have to get up and walk. Like, do you really want this? Mm-hmm. Right? And I really think that the blessing of the Lord brings the blessing of responsibility. Like you said, there is a blessing of responsibility. There is a blessing to being a provider. There is a blessing to being a leader, but there's also a responsibility. There's also a burden that you carry. It's you know, that's the problem of a promise, right? Like you go into the promised land, bro, but it's like, no, bro, I gotta go fight these enemies. I gotta go occupy. Right. I gotta not just walk into the promised land. I gotta occupy it and stay here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And work it.
I don't know why I'm all adamant about it, you know? You know, honestly, what it is because I want to see 20 and 30 year olds not being wishful dreamers in Babylon, but being faithful, hopeful builders in Babylon. Man, God called you to build here something. And even now, man. And like the Lord's not going to bless your wishes.
Yeah.
He's going to bless your obedience. He's going to bless what you build, what you put your hands to do. Okay, it's not perfect, right? But man, you put that thing in God's hands. Jeez, bro.
Yeah.
Bishop Jakes always says, like, if you're wishing and hoping for a table, he's not going to just bring you a table. He's going to give you trees.
Yeah. God doesn't give tables. Yeah.
What are you going to do with those trees? Message. It's right in front of you. Like the Lord has placed everything for you to prosper in front of you. And if by chance you feel like he hasn't, maybe you're disillusioned. What's that verse that makes your heart sick?
Disappointment.
Yeah,
disappointment.
Unrelenting. Yeah. Unrelenting disappointment.
And maybe you're in that cycle, unrelenting disappointment, and your heart is sick. And you need this. You needed this hopeful conversation to be like, okay, maybe I've been putting my own wish on something that God never even intended me to have. So take some time in prayer and ask the Lord, Lord, if I did this to myself, because a lot of times we do it to ourselves. Mm. We have all these fantasies and hopes and dreams that God's like, all right, well, I never said any of that. But we make ourselves disappointed and then we blame God. Mm-hmm. So maybe take some time and ask the Lord to forgive you.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. The resolution to that scripture, unrelenting disappointment makes our heart sick, but a suddenly good turnaround is a tree of life, mm-hmm. right? And that statement, it's not like a breakthrough. Right, the writer of Proverbs isn't saying, "Hey, God's gonna turn everything around." Like that's like, no, you're gonna have a change of thought,
different perspective.
You're gonna have a different perspective, and that becomes the tree of life. Which, when you think about now, this is a good thing to preach, also, right? Yeah. Like the tree of life is seasonal; it bears fruit one out of four seasons a year. Yeah. The rest of the time, I'm pruning, I'm watering, I'm cultivating, I'm working it, right? But there's life there, man. Yeah. I think that's beautiful, right? I think as we're just landing the conversation, I think to me, the big takeaway is, man, like, put your hands on something here, build something here, give the Lord something to bless here. Right? Like for real, I want us to be those kinds of people. Lord, here is not perfect, but you are. Mm-hmm. Here is not complete, everything in my dream, but you are. But you're complete. Like you're my provider. You're my peace. So I'm not looking. Yeah. I'm not looking to my place to be my peace. Watch. Don't have time to go into it, right? But like I'm not looking for the place to give me peace. I'm actually here to give the place peace, mm-hmm. right? Because the Lord said, and in that day, pray for Babylon. Because the peace that you experience is the peace that you're going to bring to the people.
Yeah,
is what Jeremiah 29:13 says, which is connected to that, right?
And so
right? So think about that. Like, what if you're there to change Babylon, mm-hmm. right? And so as you build, as you're faithful, as you pray for, Lord, give me peace here. What is peace? Health, welfare, prosperity, every form of good. I believe even here, I will have the peace of God, the health of God, welfare, the prosperity of God. Every form of good is mine because the God of peace is here.
Amen.
And because of me, now this. Things around me begin to change, man.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that, man. I believe that your blessing and your purpose and your future and your hope is called to be a blessing to those around you, right? That's what our church teaches, right? Amen. One of our core values, blessed to be a blessing, right? So as we move forward, man, I want you to take that with you, man. Like, Lord, I want to give you something to bless today, even Amen. Here and now. I will give you, not like, Lord, I wish you would give me a blessing. Like, no, Lord, I will give you something to bless.
Amen. Yeah.
Come on, man. That's a good word.
Good word.
Any finishing thoughts? Go to CultureCon, August 5th through 7th, man.
See you then.
That's going to be unbelievable. Felipe, I love you. Good word today. Diana.
Love you, too.
You know how I feel. I love you with all my heart. Love you, everyone. Thank you for being my baby mama. This is ridiculous. I know. Y'all, I love you, too. Make sure you... Andrew's laughing. Sorry, bro. Hey, for real, we say this every time, man. Join what we're doing, man, for real. Be faithful with it. Be faithful with us. Thank you for listening, for watching. Share it. Subscribe to it. Turn on notifications. It just helps us. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, leave us a good review, right? If you believe in this message, You engaging with us, sharing the review, helps us get this message out in front of a lot more people who need to hear this, right? So thank you for partnering with the movement. And so we love y'all. Till next time. Peace.